Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And welcome to day 24 of the 31 Creepy Days of Halloween. Hashtag Creepy Days. This has been incredible. I usually don't chime in throughout this experience, but what an incredible event this has been. In case you're just tuning in, all this October, Creepy Kingdom has been releasing an episode every day. And I've had some great guests, I've had some great guest hosts. It's really been an incredible experience interacting with other podcasts and putting out so much content for everybody as we all celebrate this time of year. So let's keep the celebration going. This episode, I am joined by Cupcake Terror as I finally give my full in-depth review of the Diagon Alley section of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal Studios Orlando. That includes my review of Nocturne Alley, Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts, and the Hogwarts Express train. So much stuff that I haven't shared at all on the show in any possible way. It's all coming to you right now. So enough chit-chat. How about you sit down and get ready to begin? Hello, I am joined by Cupcake Terror.
Hello.
I sounded so sinister. You were so friendly and nice.
I know. I think I was too chipper on that one. No.
A little more terror, you know. I mean, I know you're a cupcake, but you got a little more terror in your hellos.
I try. I'm supposedly the dread pirate. Cupcake Terror of the high seas, but I think I'm the most chipper pirate you'll ever meet.
So far, you have been. But anyways, thank you for coming on the show officially. You did contribute to the Haunted Mansion anniversary special.
I did, and thank you for including me. That was a lot of fun to have that little memory included. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then that was a whole fun episode. Everyone that joined in and shared their happy memories, that was a good time.
Yeah.
But I asked you to come on this episode because I know, just as like myself, that you are a Harry Potter fan.
I am indeed. I'm actually really excited for this episode because I'm looking forward to hearing your take on Diagon Alley and just a little bit of Harry Potter land, as I like to call it. Because I can't say wizard.
It's Wizarding World. Wizarding it's not called Harry Potter Land. It's Wizarding World.
Wizarding World. I have a really hard time with that wizarding. See? Oh, right there.
I just kind of slur my speech when I say I go Wizarding World. Wizarding World. I don't pronounce the D.
The D is silent.
Yeah, the D is silent. Wizarding World.
Yeah, there you go.
Wizarding World. Don't say the D. Which, the word wizarding, not a word.
I was thinking, I'm like, is that in the dictionary? I'm pretty sure Merriam-Webster does not have that in their dictionary, urban or otherwise.
Nope. Wizarding is not a word. But anyways, moving on. So Now that Diagon Alley has opened up at Universal Studios Orlando, it opened up in July, and I got to experience it firsthand, I wanted to come back and share with everyone my thoughts, and especially about the Nocturne Alley portion that has opened. I did an episode back in January where when they first announced Nocturne Alley, I was going to be part of it, and I kind of freaked out, and it was like all speculation about what could possibly be there and what could not be there. And so if you want to go back and listen to that, you can and see if I was right or wrong. Funny enough, I don't remember everything that I said, but I remember most of it.
We'll have to do a side-by-side comparison.
Right, we're like, was he right? Was he wrong? I don't know. So in case you're not a Harry Potter fan, Nocturne Alley is a section... Or let me just take a step back. Diagon Alley is a secret street in London that only wizards and witches have access to. And attached to Diagon Alley is Nocturne Alley, which is a place where the witches and wizards that practice the dark arts kind of hang out. That's where their shopping mall is.
Yep. Evil Slytherins.
Yes. Sure. I mean, there's got to be some other evil people from other houses besides Slytherin. I know that, you know, it's the go-to, but they're not all Slytherins.
It is. Yeah, true. I guess.
And people don't know what we're talking about. It's like, you guys are nerds, but we're going to nerd out really hard here, so mm-hmm. you can hold on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better hold on to your nerd hats because it's going to get nerd-tastic up in here.
Faux show. Anyways, it's always nighttime there, and what I was really excited about was saying this is kind of the first thing in a theme park where a permanent, you know, area was built that was dedicated to the bad guys or the villains or darkness. You know, there's the part of the ride maybe where the villain shows up, or there's a temporary thing for Halloween, but this is a year-round place where the dark arts reign, and that was pretty exciting news. So there's a lot of things there, but before we get into Diagon Alley, let's take a step back and briefly talk about what was already there prior to the opening there, which was the first section of the Wizarding World that opened up in 2010, which is now being called Hogsmeade Village. That would include Hogsmeade Village, which is a small village with a few shops and restaurant and a bar, and of course Hogwarts Castle.
Yay!
And this and it's funny because I try to take being a Harry Potter fan out of this, which is pretty hard.
I was gonna say, I'm like, that's really difficult.
But I'm trying to, and I still believe, and I've heard it from other people that enjoy this area and enjoy the ride I'm about to talk about, that, you know, they're not Harry Potter fans. Either they're casual or they just never even saw the movies, or they're just theme park fans. Mm-hmm. And this set a new standard in theme park immersion. And, you know, it can be debated to death, you know, what came first or what influenced what, you know. But it changed the landscape forever. You know, you get the detail in New Fantasyland and Magic Kingdom. You get Cars Land, which, of course, they were already working on these things prior to Wizarding World opening up. But the amount of detail that is in both of those things, I don't think would have been as much. I mean, it's speculation, of course.
Right, right. But, that's what we do here, speculation. Yes, speculation, yeah.
And so it's that alone, is as a theme park fan, it's very important. And so I got to visit... the first leg of the Wizarding World in May 2013. It opened in 2010. And
has it really been open that long?
It has.
My gosh.
Yes.
Crazy. Sheesh.
And within Hogwarts Castle is the marquee attraction, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. Now, I actively avoided spoilers for this ride for 3 years, and it was very hard. Especially how many theme park podcasts I listen to.
That's a hard one to avoid, yeah.
And anytime anyone would start talking about the ride, I would turn it off or skip ahead. Like, I mean, there's a few things got leaked through, but overall, it did not happen. And I just want to say, just so everyone kind of knows where what kind of precedent set with me personally, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey is one of the greatest theme park attractions ever created. That is my humble opinion. It is my number three favorite attraction of all time. That is behind number one being Disneyland's Haunted Mansion and number two being Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice. That's a good list.
So you know I'm serious when I put this ride at number three. There's literally nothing else like it in the world. And part of the reason is the technology behind it. Universal has exclusive rights to it for 5 years, and that's almost up.
Oh, man.
So we'll see what Disney does with that technology when they're able to use it.
But I'm excited. Oh, I just want to see what else Universal does, because they've come a really long way in such a short amount of time, I think.
Yeah.
Just the parks themselves, the way they look, especially with the Wizard of World of Harry Potter Land. God dang it.
Don't call it Harry Potter.
I'm sorry. just the pictures I've seen, because I haven't, unfortunately, been yet, because that really sucks. But it's amazing what they've done. It's beautiful.
And we can think, obviously, that the team that did it, Universal Creative, is their version of Imagineering. But the real person that we have to thank for all the joy that us theme park fans will have forever since it set a new precedent is really J.K. Rowling, because she was really hands-on, wanted things to be exactly the way she wanted it, would accept nothing less down to the very minute detail. And it's really set a new precedent for theme parks that we've never seen before. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of a theme park talking with the author of the book that they're doing anything with. No. How does this look? Well, we're going to do it anyways.
I mean, that was the only way that she would sign on, was if she had complete control over the whole thing.
Very smart.
So, and because of that, we've really gotten an amazing area. So, needless to say, so the cue of the Forbidden Journey is walking through Hogwarts Castle, which is an attraction upon itself. You come across so many amazing things in there. Talking portraits. It's the only place in the world where you could hear the founders of Hogwarts talking to each other in portraits.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's not in the books. It's not in any of the movies. It was created originally for the cue of this attraction. So that's a little nerd-tastic trivia thing there.
That is absolutely... I really want to... this is awesome. Keep talking. Okay, I'm going to stop interrupting.
By the way, it's cool. I am super hype right now. I just downed a Frappuccino before I started recording. So usually I might sound a little mellow on the show, but I'm really
you're amped for this one. I'm nerding out. I'm sharing everything. Give me all the sugar.
So, and just as a brief synopsis, so we can move on to Diagon Alley. What happens in the Forbidden Journey is, a lot of people have criticized that it doesn't really make any sense, and it's kind of like this mishmash of danger. It's just greatest hits of times that Harry and Ron and Hermione were almost killed is basically what the ride is. I mean, you come face to face with a dragon who breathes fire, and you feel the heat. You almost get hit by the Whomping Willow. You go through the Chamber of Secrets. You come face to face with Dementors. You see your face. You get sucked out as they're sucking your soul. There's really
that is so cool.
It is incredible as you're flying around on an enchanted bench.
An enchanted bench.
That's what you're on. Yeah, it is. it is absolutely incredible, and I stand behind it. And that's all to say about that. So, anyways, I think it's time to get to Diagon Alley, because there's a lot to discuss. With the success of the first leg, they're like, let's add on. Now, Hogsmeade Village is in Universal has two theme parks, and this Hogsmeade Village is in the Islands of Adventure theme park, and Diagon Alley is in Universal Studios theme park.
Yep.
So they're not in the same theme park. So they're like, how are we going to connect these worlds? Well, they came up with a really simple solution. Was they actually created the Hogwarts Express train to connect. You there?
No, yeah, sorry. Oh, no. Oh. I'm just trying not to cough. I apologize.
Oh, okay. I thought you were choking up.
Getting a little emotional. Yeah. I have to say this now. I am such a big nerd and I love Harry Potter very much. I know when I'm actually on the train, I will probably get a little choked up. Because it'll be that moment where I'm like, okay, this is the reality. And even being in Hogsmeade and seeing the castle, I think the train was the biggest part for me in the books.
Sure.
Because it took Harry away from the world that he knew in England and brought him to, you know, the amazing life that he built. So, yeah, I'll probably get a little emotional. Well, anyhow, that's okay.
not a problem. All right, so I'm going to get into my Diagon Alley review and my experiences of everything here. It's a little bit of a trip report-ish thing, you know, but I just want everyone to go on the journey with me here. So I got into town about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That night, I had a ticket to go to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, which was from 6:30 to midnight. Which I don't know which episode will come out first, but I did do a full review of Halloween Horror Nights, so either you heard it already or it's coming. but, you know, by the time I got to the park, it was about 3:30. Like, I actually got on property, it was 3:30. And my number one priority was to go immediately to Diagon Alley and go straight to the brand new ride, Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. And nice. It's funny. It's like I got into town. I went to the place I was staying. I dropped my stuff off, went straight to Universal.
I'm out. See ya.
Yeah, like I couldn't even tell you how excited I was. In fact, the whole pinnacle of this whole trip, the whole reason that actually got me to take this last trip was just because I was thinking about skipping going to Orlando.
Sorry.
I know, it's a shock. But there was two things that I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to go. One was that I had a meetup planned with Annie from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast. We had a meetup, a joint meetup that we planned, and, you know, I can't let Annie down, you know. So I had to be there for the joint meetup. And it's like, I have to go to Diagon Alley. I'm dying to see it. I need to be there. So obviously, I couldn't wait. So I get in the park, and I am hightailing it to Diagon Alley.
We're doing, like, that fast walk thing where the arms are swinging. You're not quite running, but you're not quite walking.
A little bit. I mean, I will also say the humidity and heat that was in Orlando while I was there was so brutal. It was so unexpected since it was late September. It was almost like as soon as I crossed the state line to Florida, I, like, drove into an oven, and it was like that the whole time.
Oh, gosh.
So, and I sweat, you know, in winter, so so I wasn't exerting myself that much because it was already brutal. I was like, whoa, this is going to be a tough one. But I was moving. I think I was texting or something. I don't know. I was just, like, really focused on getting there as I was walking through the park, really just like tunnel visioning it to Diagon Alley. And the funny thing about it was I almost walked directly into Olive Oil.
Oh my God. As in Popeye and Olive Oil?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Now, were you texting and walking at the same time?
Yes, I was.
Oh my gosh. See? This is a cautionary tale, children, of why you don't text and walk in theme parks.
So, I mean, this isn't really Harry Potter related. I just found it amusing.
That's actually really funny.
That I walk into Olive Oil, and this is a face character, this woman dressed as Olive Oil. And so as I almost hit her, she's like, hey, watch where you're going. You could have knocked me over.
Oh, my God. I can hear her voice now. That's awesome.
It was incredible. I was like, and right then I'm like, all right, James, you are not, like, in the hustle and bustle of your life right now, okay? Olive Oil just yelled at you. It's time to check out, you know? It's time to embrace yourself for where you are, you know?
Yep. You know, side note, though, I didn't know that they had Olive Oil in the park. That's really cool.
Yeah, they have a Popeye ride in Islands of Adventure. It's something. It's a kid's thing. I think it's a boat that shoots water or something. I don't know, something that I didn't experience. So
You're like, no, I was on a mission. Okay.
I've never seen Olive Oil there before. I have run into Lucy before, which was pretty exciting. I have my picture taken with her.
Neat.
And I know Marilyn walks around. This is a the part of the park that is kind of like you see a lot of older characters walking around. And Popeye is seen walking around there as well. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy come around there.
Oh, okay. So, that's right.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of, it wasn't that unexpected, but I mean, it was just, I almost hit her, you know, and I wasn't looking. I was literally looking at my, like, texting and walking. So you get to where Diagon Alley is. Now, the way they have it presented is the London waterfront. Because Universal Studios is kind of broken up into different sections by famous cities, really. They have, you know, Hollywood Boulevard. You know, that's L.A. Then they have a New York section. Then they have a San Francisco section. And I think they have another one. I don't remember what it is. So right next to San Francisco, though, is where they built the London waterfront. So it kind of it works thematically with the other parts of the park. And, yeah, it just looks like it's London. And there doesn't say anything about Harry Potter. There's no big sign like Harry Potter right here. Because right. In the films and in the books, this Diagon Alley is hidden from the street. So it's, I mean, I guess it, for all intents and purposes, it is hidden, you know? Mm-hmm. And next to this bunch of buildings is, you see a sign for King's Cross Station, which is the train station where the Hogwarts Express is, but it just looks like a regular train station, which I'll get into that experience a little bit later. So I walk over, and in the films, to get to Diagon Alley, you had to go through the Leaky Cauldron, which was a restaurant, which was accessible to the muggle world, the non-wizard world. Mm-hmm. But you had to go through it and then tap on the bricks, and then it opens up. Obviously, logistically, they couldn't do that.
Can you imagine that line?
Yeah.
5 hours later.
Yeah. So there's just kind of this opening near one of the houses on the London waterfront, and, you know, I just kind of followed people there. I'm like, this has got to be it. You kind of walk through zigzag a little, and you hear the sound of the bricks. And then as you turn the corner, it's like you see like bricks that have opened up. You turn the corner, and you get your first shot of Diagon Alley. And you look straight ahead. Down at the end is Gringotts Bank. And on top of the bank is a huge dragon that actually shoots real fire.
So rad.
And you just see all the stores. You see all the stuff from the movies. And, of course, I mean, I tried to avoid spoilers as much as I could. And a lot of some pictures of Diagon Alley had sneaked through on my Twitter feed and Facebook feed. So I had seen some of this before. But I turned that corner. I looked down that way. And I got to admit, man, I was overwhelmed. I almost got a little choked up there. I was just like...
Aww.
I was like, this is absolutely amazing. Like this is so already, just that first second being in there just surpassed all of the last part, you know, the Hogsmeade Village section.
Nice.
Like, it was like, you know, I really, and I know a lot of people may have said this, I don't care. I immediately stopped feeling like I was in a theme park and thought I went to a real place. And that feeling kind of carried on as I went through. Since time was of the essence, since the park was closing at 5:30.
Holy what?
Because Halloween Horror Night starts at 6:30.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
My first order of business was to get on the Gringotts coaster. When it first opened, this ride was getting record waits of 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. Holy shit. Lord.
Which I would never stand in line that long to do anything, but
that's like Tokyo Disneyland wait times right there.
Really? That's how long the lines are there? Wow.
Yeah, some of the lines are up to 4 hours.
Insane. It wasn't quite like that at this point, but I knew, I'm like, I just need to get in line. I need to get on this ride and experience it. So I, you know, stop avoiding the spoilers and just experience it for myself. I probably waited about an hour, which is actually around my threshold of waiting in line in general for anything. And I hate waiting in line, obviously, but, you know, I feel like over that, I really get antsy. And what's even worse is I was by myself. So waiting in line, time passes a lot easier when you're with someone. But, you know, but right away, I mean, just welcome to Florida heat. I mean, I was outside for most of the time I was waiting, and it was just like, I was just baking, man. It was so hot.
You should have had an umbrella with you or a fan or something.
Yeah, I know. There was, honestly, there were several times I'm like, I don't care how stupid I look. I wish I had a parasol here.
Right? Yeah.
Because that is just intense heat, man. But anyways, listeners don't tune in to hear about heat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Let's not talk about the weather.
Eventually we go inside, and it's cool because you walk right inside and it's like the main lobby, and you just see all these goblin animatronics that, like, just like when the first time Harry walks in, all around there, just banking. sometimes they stop and look up and stare at you, and then they just go back to whatever they're doing. It was cool. I, of course, posted a selfie with me and the goblins right away. Had to get that out there. I don't really want to feel like going like step by step of the attraction here. One of the things, though, I heard about the attraction, which I was very excited about, which is, you know, relevant to the show, of course, is that there was going to be some appearances from some dark wizards that were really absent from the first leg of the first part of Harry Potter World, which one of my favorite characters in the world, Bellatrix Lestrange, plays a major role in this attraction. So I was pretty excited about that. And it is the only appearance of Lord Voldemort in all of the Wizarding World is within this attraction.
Did you actually say his name?
I did. I'm brave enough now.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, listen. I learned from Professor McGonagall that I might as well just say his name because he'll kill me either way. And I take that advice to heart. You know,
she's a very wise woman.
Yes. That's actually, like, it's got to be my favorite line of Deathly Hallows is when she says that. But let's not go on a nerd rant. Anyway, so. and just a little perspective here, too. The first leg, I keep calling it leg, I don't know, whatever. The Hogsmeade Village section is set at the beginning of the Triwizard Tournament. So that's going on there, and it's very clearly during that time period. It's before Voldemort returns and everything gets really bad. You know, Diagon Alley is kind of weird because the Gringotts ride is clearly set during Deathly Hallows time. But the outside of Diagon Alley is not that, because during Deathly Hallows time, Diagon Alley is deserted. So it's kind of a mix of both those things. So, you know, it's just little things. You're like, what? And the dragon that escapes Gringotts is obviously happens during Diagon Alley. That's on top there. That they're, you know. So it's just like, you know, I thought that was kind of weird before when the attraction. But I will say the attractions is pretty good. It's fun. It is definitely not on the same level as Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. But, you know, one of the major pluses that it has, of course, is Bellatrix is all throughout it.
Yay!
And when you first see her, I got so excited. I actually screamed her name. I mean, you know, like I saw a celebrity.
I see. Did you get sound of that? No.
No, that was just a personal experience for myself. But and these strangers I was sitting next to.
Which I'm sure they were like, all right.
They're like, yeah, exactly. Like, all right. I'm sorry, after the olive oil experience where I was like, I totally checked out and stopped caring about anything except for, like, being in the parks and having a good time. You know? So,
yep. That makes sense, though.
You know, and she didn't hear me, but she tried to kill me.
How dare she?
Which is great. Which is how the ride kind of starts. She tries to... if you've ever seen any of the films and you see the Gringotts mine things, you would think that it was kind of built for a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It is not like that at all. It is not that much of a thrill ride. It's a little bit of a thrill, but it's not like some crazy looping thing where, like it is in the movie. But it's fun. It is fun. I'm not going to say that it's not a good ride. It's very similar to two other rides they've already done. So I guess it's kind of when you go from Forbidden Journey to that, it's kind of like, I don't know. Her, like, I wanted a little something else. But it's very similar to the Transformers ride and the Spider-Man ride. If anyone's experienced those, it's mostly giant IMAX screens. It's 3D. You wear 3D glasses. I don't know if they're IMAX, but whatever. There's huge screens. And you're on a simulator. But you do go on a track, and you do move around. I went on it twice. It's not like I didn't like it or anything. I did like it, but that's where you see Bellatrix Lestrange, man, and it's exciting because I feel like whenever there's something in a movie or characters I really like you know, usually just they're not popular enough to be included in. And the attraction or
you're like the hipster of the movies, like I like this guy before anybody else did. No, I'm just kidding, sorry.
I mean, overall I've come across, you know, people generally are, you know, pretty big fans of Bellatrix or like her, you know, as a character. You know, I don't think that I'm alone on that.
No, you're definitely not. Bellatrix is one of my favorite villains in that whole series. So
the funny thing about it too is that the Harry Potter universe is that it's really one of the few things that I just love the villains as equally as I love the heroes, as it were. And at times you're like, I don't know what to root for because I want to see awesome evil stuff happen. You know?
Yep.
In fact, there's like the only villain in the Harry Potter universe that you truly hate has got to be Dolores Umbridge. That you know, you're just like, ugh. She's nowhere to be found in the Wizarding World. So,
Goodness, I was really hoping that she wouldn't be in there. Those books, I had to stop reading that part because I hated that character vehemently. Like I had physical reactions to reading about her. I had to stop reading the book for a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'll put this down before I like start throwing books across the room. Yeah, she was a hard one to get through.
Right.
She's mean. Yeah.
And if you're unfamiliar with her. I don't even know where to compare her to. She's just really, she's not even like she's so bad you like her. She just truly represents, like,
evil. Yeah. True evil. On that little, like, scale of, like, lawfully good and complete evil.
I think she also represents, you know, as a comparison, kind of the moral right, you know, conservative. Mm-hmm. Trying to regulate and control everything that's cool. That's really what she represents. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
It really hits home a lot, I guess.
It definitely does. Do you think that as a tangent, do you think that she would be a tea party?
100%. Yeah. That's exactly great. Great comparison. Totally.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not trying to bring the politics into it, but since you were talking about it, I'm like, just real quick.
I mean, okay. I usually don't bring politics into the show, but I will say that I think that Dolores Umbridge is a Tea Party member.
Yep.
So if you don't like it, sorry.
anyways, sorry about it.
Tangent over.
Done. All right. So we're on the ride. Bellatrix Lestrange.
I mean, that's all I'm really going to say about the ride. I mean, you know, she's in it. I'm excited about it. I mean, otherwise, you just really got to experience it for yourself and all that. So before we move on, do you have any other questions about the Gringotts coaster ride?
So you said it's like the Transformers ride, that same concept, big screens, everything. So like the motion simulator. How did you feel when you got off it? Were you like super dizzy? Because I was super dizzy when I got off the Transformers ride. So is it like kind of the same?
Well, not to, I mean, let's see. The ride system we're talking about here, like I said, you're on a moving coaster, but you encounter all these huge screens with a minimal practical sets and effects around you. And they have the same ride system for Transformers, Spider-Man ride, which is only an Islands and Adventure, and this ride. Out of the three of those rides, I would actually say the one that I think is the most fun is the Transformers ride.
Nice.
As a ride experience.
Yeah, it is pretty freaking insane.
I actually ended up going on that ride three times when I was there, so obviously I liked it. No, I wasn't dizzy, though.
Wasn't dizzy. Yeah, I rode Transformers three times in a row at Universal Hollywood in a ride. No, I was a little, I was super excited about it. Yeah. So, and it was, we went on a weekday, so the lines weren't very long.
Oh, okay.
So basically, I just walked on. It was like a 10-minute wait each time, which was amazing. So, yeah, we rode that one like three times. By the third time, I'm like, okay, I can't ride this anymore.
Yeah, I think it was the three times in a row thing that guy
did. That probably did it,
yeah. Some time for your body to adjust a little bit.
Yeah. I'm the type of person that will go on a ride and just, like, go gung-ho for it. Like, for the Mummy, I did that one like three times in a row. I had a blast on that one.
Right, which is
just such a fun ride.
That's
so.
An amazing ride too. It is. I hear that one's a little better at Orlando one.
Yeah,
the Transformer one is exactly. I heard is exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah. I was watching ride through videos of the one in Orlando, and there's so much more that you like go through in the first part, and then through the actual coaster part as well. But yeah, it just seemed like, you know, when they built it in Hollywood, they did it, and it was fun.
Yeah.
But,
well, we'll tangent off about Mummy.
Anyway, yeah, I know.
A great ride. I love that ride. But anyway, so I was actually describing it to someone. I said it's like Space Mountain, except there's fire and mummy curses.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much. And it's really low to the ground.
Oh boy. Anyway, okay. So no, I didn't get dizzy. To answer your question.
Okay, that was the thing I wonder about, because the technology is amazing. It's great to see, but at the same time, it's still glasses with screen with 3D effects. And I don't know, it does throw me off right at the get-go, like Star Tours does. Most of those type of simulator rides kind of throw me.
It might a little bit, though. My issue with things is like when I'm in really dark situations and I can't see which way is up kind of thing, my equilibrium gets thrown off, and that's what makes me dizzy.
Okay.
And so I tend to avoid that experience. But the first time I went on Forbidden Journey, I started to get a little dizzy, I remember. But the last time I didn't get dizzy at all. So, I mean, you might get dizzy. I don't know. Another funny thing that the difference between Disney and Universal, there's many in the parks, but one is the warnings that they have. Every attraction has these huge, long list of warnings. that is ridiculous.
Wow.
It's almost like motion sickness, strobe lights, claustrophobia, fear of heights, complete darkness. Like, just like and I wish, and it's funny because some of them are worse than others, and I wish that, you know, it's kind of like crying wolf on everything, you know. I wish it actually would
say. I should just say, if you don't want to experience any motion at all,
right, motion at all,
go sit on a bench.
Sit down, yeah. And even on Forbidden Journey, it says fear of spiders, you know.
Like, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, funny. I have a fear of spiders.
Oh, you come face to face with
the big
spider, yeah. Yeah.
I hated that part in the movies and the book. Actually,
Forbidden Journey is scary. So anyways,
I'm looking forward to it now. Okay.
And actually, when you come with in contact with the spider, that's where they take your on-ride photo.
It's gonna be the dumbest on-ride photo for me. I already know. I'm gonna be like either covering my eyes, like my mouth's gonna be wide open, my eyes are gonna be like saucers.
Mine was the first time I went on it. I mean, I was just laughing and like just giddy, like a little schoolgirl or something. Yeah. And in my picture, I'm just like, that's what it looks like. I'm like I'm just laughing and I'm like kicking my legs around. Like,
oh my god, that's awesome.
I didn't buy it because I don't buy on-ride photos. But
you should always buy at least one on-ride photo.
Oh man, that's expensive. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Moving on. we don't want to start talking about prices. That's depressing.
Yeah, no. I got to prioritize. These are expensive endeavors going to these parks. So.
Yep. There's butterbeer to be drunk. So
yeah, no, I'll get to
I'm excited about the butterbeer.
All right, so the park was closing. I had to do Halloween Horror Nights, and that was all I experienced that day. And I did not get back. I think 3 days later is when I went back to Universal. I was 3 days at Walt Disney World. And then a day and a half after that at Universal. So, yeah. So I started my day. I went, got to Universal. I went straight back to Diagon Alley. And my first order of business that day was to go to Nocturne Alley, which I didn't get to go to on my first day. And to experience the store Borgin & Burks, which in the films plays, it's the store... where It's weird. I don't know how to summarize Harry Potter if you don't know it. Whatever. It's a place. It's an evil store within the evil part of Nocturne Alley. And there also is things like called the Vanishing Cabinet, which was a way they snuck in and out of Hogwarts. It's just it's a creepy store, and
I consider it to be the dark magic antique store. You know, like the kitsch stores that you walk into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's really what I think of. Yeah, except everything you touch can kill you.
Yeah, yeah. There's some things come alive, try to tackle you. Things are shaking. So this is the only actual real store inside Nocturne Alley. So essentially, it's this whole dark section. Now, there's several store fronts that are really cool. There's a tattoo shop. I forgot the way they call it, but and you can look inside the windows, and all the pictures are enchanted, so they're, you know, they're animated and moving inside there. So that's really cool. And there's the store where you buy bones, I guess, which is a storefront there, which that's cool. There's a lot of like rundown stores, and you see like lights in them, and like shadows of giant spiders, and it is just a beautiful place to be. I just love it so much. The other thing I want to point out, actually, which I was going to bring up before, but I guess I'll bring it up now, is that with Diagon Alley, they included this thing. I don't know the official title of it, but it's kind of like an interactive wand game where you pay however much this costs to get this interactive wand, and then you get this list of spells, and you go to certain parts of Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade, and you say a spell, and then all these things can happen. Which is pretty incredible. I mean, I didn't get to do any of this. I didn't buy the wand, and I really didn't have time to do it. But just being around, seeing all this magic happen around you, when all these people are casting spells all around you, it's cool. And there's several spell points within Nocturne Alley.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. We're going to have to do this. We're going to buy the wands. We're going to do it like 3 or 4 times because...
Oh, yeah, I definitely...
Oh, that's
yeah,
so cool.
I would actually just take a day and just do that. You know, like just...
Yeah. Just like stand around and wait till someone's done, then do it again.
Right. And also near all the spell points, I guess there's a map that tells you where they are. I don't think you just randomly come across them. There's team members, which is what they call them over there, not cast members. There's always team members nearby that are, you know, to help you through it. So, you know, it's not a frustrating experience. But yeah, it's cool. And another fun thing is there's a bunch of team members in character, of course, in Nocturne Alley, dressed as wizards and witches.
Yay!
And I was the whole time in there, I'm taking pictures, I'm taking video, I'm like doing all this fun stuff. And I kept noticing that, they were like giving me like dirty looks, and I was like, I thought maybe that I shouldn't be doing it. I also another thing too is that Universal really frowns upon taking pictures and videos on their rides, as opposed to Disney, who doesn't care. They actually don't allow it at all. So it's
wow.
There's no rule against doing it like outside of the rides, but they're just really against it. So I remember thinking, like, they weren't saying anything to me, but they were just kind of giving me dirty looks. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I hope if they don't tell me to stop or whatever, I don't know. And then and later on, I was listening to a podcast, I think it was the E-Ticket Report, and they were kind of reviewing Diagon Alley. And they were saying, it's like, oh, it's so great how in Nocturne Alley all the team members are in character. And I realized, I'm like, they were giving me those looks because they were being creeps. Because that's...
And here you thought you were breaking the rules.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
That's how convincing they were. So we hop into Borgin and Burke's. Let's go into there. It's pretty much an incredible store. I mean... You know, nerd nitpicking here. It certainly is not the layout of the films, but, but whatever.
Harry didn't walk past this when he came in.
But basically, the way the stores are and pretty much all the Wizarding World are is that everything that you can reach is actual merchandise that you can buy. But on the upper shelves up to the ceiling are all these crazy props and stuff that you actually see in the movies. So it was so many vials and skulls and.
Do they have the fireplace that Harry Potter comes through? when he mispronounces Diagon Alley.
Yeah, Diagon Alley or whatever.
Diagon Alley? Yeah. Did he say Diagon Alley? What?
I think the fireplace is there. What is in there for sure is that hand is there. It wasn't nice. I don't remember the fireplace, to be honest with you. It doesn't mean it wasn't there, but the hand was not there. I know that. The hand, it wasn't on the fireplace, I mean.
Right, okay.
Sorry.
I was confused for a second. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm sorry, everyone was. Anyway, so the fire, the hand's there. The vanishing cabinet is in there. There's a trunk that's shaking on its own.
Man, oh, what was that? That was the, what do they call it?
I don't remember exactly what it was.
It was in the Defense Against the Dark Arts class when...
Oh, yes.
The werewolf. What's his name? It's a Boggart, isn't it?
Yeah, they train them to do Patronus spells, which is to protect them from things that hurt them by thinking of things to protect them. So, I think that's what it was. You're right. That wasn't in Borgian Books before. I mean, maybe it was. I don't remember that being in Borgian Books in the books or films, but...
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Maybe it's just because it was something dark. Or...
That was definitely it, though. No, because it was the same thing. It was a trunk that was shaking.
Awesome.
The team members in there were great. They did this great thing of riding the line between being creeps but also being very friendly and helpful, which is I think it's pretty hard to pull off.
How do you be a jerk? Without coming off as a jerk.
The number one thing that I wanted to get. I wanted the Bellatrix Lestrange wanted poster t-shirt. Like, that's, I'd seen people in the world have that. I'm like, if there's any place where that is, it has to be in Borgian and Burks. So they didn't have it. They didn't at all. And the only Bellatrix Lestrange shirt they had was in lady sizes.
What? You should write a letter.
Yeah, I'm like, what's up with that? I mean, I wasn't rude. I'm like, do they think the only people that like Bellatrix Lestrange are girls? I'm like, what is going on? And the funny thing about this design, it was a little feminine, but I was like, I so had my mind set on a Bellatrix Lestrange shirt that I was like, I don't even care. I mean, I'll even wear that design. Like, I want a Bellatrix Lestrange shirt, but they only had it in lady sizes, and I definitely need guy sizes. I can't rock.
That's when you take the lady shirt, you cut it up, and you safety pin it onto another shirt.
Right, or
pretty much punk rock.
I could have done that, but you know, I didn't. So. But yeah, I asked them if they had it, and they said no, you know, and you know, hopefully they thought that they were eventually going to do that. And then the other thing, I'm like, if I can't get that on a t-shirt, can I actually buy a poster of the wanted poster, which they have up in the store? Another fail. The one that they had up there was an actual one-of-a-kind thing that was for sale for $250. So I was thinking, you know, $15, $20 I was going to spend.
Yikes.
Not a one-of-a-kind. I don't even know what that means as a one-of-a-kind poster, but by who, I don't know. But it just looked like a regular print, but I obviously wasn't spending $250 on it. They also had a lot of great things in there. They had Death Eater robes and masks that are for sale. So, it was just a great store to be in. I think only other thing about Nocturne Alley I want to say is that as we exit going out of it, there actually is an enchanted wanted Bellatrix Lestrange poster. So it's actually moving and screaming just like in the movies. And I would say I probably spent a lot of time just standing there staring at this poster. I did shoot video of it, but even when I wasn't shooting video of it, I was like, this is actually what I want in my home. I mean, it's obviously a video screen, you know, but I'm like, this is incredible, you know.
We might have to build you one.
Yeah, I think I deserve it.
Yep, totally you do.
So I went exploring, you know, through the shops. There's many shops here. It's essentially a Harry Potter shopping mall, is what a lot of people have called this.
I was just about to ask, like, is this pretty much just, this is where you buy your Harry Potter memorabilia?
There's a lot of things, but, and about half of the stores are storefronts, which are fun. You know, they're fake, you know, like, stuff's not really for sale, you know, but But that's, you know, the recurring theme throughout most of the shops is that the first level of things are things you can actually buy, and then as you go up, there's all these random weird stuff that you see from the movies. So you actually feel, again, you really feel like you went to these places, and that's probably one of the coolest parts about that. So, I walked around a little bit, did a little here and there, and at this point, I was like, it's time to ride the ride the Hogwarts Express. You know, I wanted to go over to the other section. I wanted to experience the Hogwarts Express. So you go to King's, you have to exit Diagon Alley. You go into King's Cross Station, which is amazingly themed, like it's just a regular train station. Everything about it, the posters and as you go through, are just like look like regular London advertisements. There's a big billboard that I believe was in Deathly Hallows, if not Half-Blood Prince, but it's like some makeup or perfume or something. It has this woman that says, you know, it's like, have a little magic or something. Like that's in there. So the whole time I'm going through this, you lead through it, you get to get to platform 9 3/4. And of course, in the films, if you don't know, to get to the platform 9 3/4, you have to run through a brick wall. So I was pretty curious on how they were going to pull off this trick. Now, I'm not going to ruin it. I'll just leave that one be, how they pull it off.
Dang it. I was about to ask you, Mike, had you have fun running through the brick wall? Can you?
I'll say it's mildly amusing how they do it, but I won't get into how that happened. I'll leave a little fun here. So finally you get on the train, and there's two different experiences depending on which way you're going, whether going to Hogwarts or leaving Hogwarts. And the window is a video screen. And the other side where the door is, because you're in these individual compartments, just like in the films, you can kind of see through it. I mean, you can't see through it, but it's like you can see shadows through it. So they, you know.
Neat.
So you sit down and you go on the thing, and it looks like, you know, the train moves, and you see everything moving outside. Yeah, you see the Death Eaters that were flying through the sky at the beginning of Half-Blood Prince, as they attacked the bridge in London. You see that briefly, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
And, you know, there's lots of little fun things that happen outside, but the real, and I knew that was going to be there, but the real surprise that was really cool was on the side where the carts were, where you could kind of see the silhouettes through. They actually had things go on there. You could see students walking by. You hear the woman with the candy cart go by.
Oh, that is so neat.
And eventually you hear the trio trying to find, you know, a place to sit. So they're standing out there. And one of the great thing about the Wizarding World is that, you know, all the actors from the films reprise their roles, you know, and really, you know, were involved in it. So you really feel like you did step in the movie. Apparently Emma Watson, that's her name, right?
Yeah. Emma Watson.
I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart for a minute. Anyways, apparently Emma Watson did not want to participate in this. So they had someone else do Hermione's voice that sounded absolutely nothing like Hermione at all.
Oh, no.
So that was kind of weak, but what happens is there actually is a Dementor attack in the hallway as you're riding the train. So everything gets dark. You see, and the Dementors are these huge, I don't even know how to describe them, Grim Reaper skeleton things. And those, they're kind of like, they look for the bad wizards and they keep them in check. They're like the prison guards at Azkaban. I'm telling the listeners, not you.
I figured as much. I'm like, I know who they are. I'm good.
And there was a scene where Dementors attack in the movie on the train. But that scene was, they were coming out the window, and that's where it was. But this was actually in the hallway, which was, I didn't even know there was like show elements from the hallway. So that, you see that, it's really cool. And then, they put a Patronus charm on and makes it scare away, but everything gets all dark and it gets all intense and, you know, like that. So it's like, nice. Cool little ride there. You get off the Hogwarts Express and you pass the carriage and horse that only Harry and Luna Lovegood could see because they've seen death. That's why I've seen people die, and other people that have never seen people die can't see this. So that's... And you don't see it either, but you see like a carriage and horse thing kind of moving. So that was a little fun little nod there.
Nice.
And that's the Hogwarts Express. You do ride it back, and nothing really creepy happens. The Weasley twins set fireworks and around outside, and they kind of blow up on the train a little bit. But you know, that it's a fun little way to go from park to park. It certainly is not a, you know, it's not an e-ticket attraction by any means, but it's definitely a fun way to go back and forth between the two sections. And yeah, I got back, went back into Diagon Alley, and then it was time for some lunch, and I went to the Leaky Cauldron, which was... I mean, I did a bunch of stuff in Hogsmeade as well, but I'm skipping over it for the sake of time. And
now, did you have... Do they have Butterbeer at the Leaky Cauldron, or is it only in Hogsmeade?
They have it at both. I did have a Butterbeer... Like, they have the Hogshead Pub and the Three Broomsticks restaurant in Hogsmeade. Mm-hmm. And I go straight to the Hogshead Pub and get a Butterbeer, because there's a Butterbeer cart outside. There's a huge line. Most people don't know that you can just cut right in there and get that.
And get it inside.
Get that. Yeah. So, of course, I got one there. In the Leaky Cauldron restaurant, not only do they have Butterbeer, they've introduced several other new drinks that was there. I decided to try the pumpkin juice drink with my meal. And of course, they don't sell like pizza and hot dogs there. They sell like actual like English fare, if you will.
Nice. Yeah. That was my next question.
Yeah. I mean, the day goes on, and I spent so much of that day in the Harry Potter section. I just felt less and less like I was in a theme park, and just like I was really in a real place. Like, and that, you know, as jaded and as adult and as I am, I have to deal with real life problems. It was so good to just check out reality and really feel like I was in a real place. You know,
like... Nice. So I have a question about the food.
Yes.
Did they have Scotch eggs?
I don't know. They do serve breakfast, and they might have it. So I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, that's like a total breakfast thing too.
But what I had was a banger pub sandwich, which was absolutely delicious. It was amazing, actually. And with pumpkin juice on the side, definitely one of the best meals I had the whole vacation. And I had a lot of great food. But that was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Like, yeah, it's going to be different than, like you said, the regular hot dog, french fry type food.
Yeah, no.
That you get at theme parks.
Yeah, no, it was like, you know, with some potato slices or wedges on the side. And it was...
I do believe those are called chips.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
With my chips.
With your chips.
I know Michelle from Disney Dreamgirls is probably yelling at me saying that too. She's from the UK. With my chips. Anyways, so that was a great meal. It was great being in Leaky Cauldron. A lot of great things from the movie happened there. That was cool. Did a lot more exploring in the shops. Nothing, you know... Just, you know, it is what it is. You know, not too much creepy there. The last little tidbit of food thing I will say, though, was that they have the ice cream place, Florian and Fortescue's Ice Cream Parlor, where they have a bunch of bizarre ice cream flavors, but they had Butterbeer ice cream.
Oh,
and,
dude.
I mean, Butterbeer the drink was pretty awesome, mm-hmm. But this was incredible.
See, I've heard about people having Butterbeer and reading about it in the book, and I have in my brain, there's a way that it's supposed to taste, mm-hmm. And I really, really, really want to go to Universal Studios just to have a Butterbeer, because I want to taste what it, I want to actually see what it tastes like.
Right. I mean, it may or may not live up to your expectations, but I will say everything that's from the books that's in the theme parks had to have been approved by J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. Even all the food items. So, like,
wow.
So you can at least have comfort in knowing that this is approved by the creator.
Okay. This is what she feels butterbeer tastes like.
Right.
Now this is a non-alcoholic drink, correct?
Yeah, butterbeers. They do actually have Hogshead Brew, which is actual beer. There is a beer that is exclusive to the Leaky Cauldron, which I don't remember what it's called. But
no way.
So yeah, they do have their own beer there. Which I didn't have any of that because alcohol and extreme heat would not. It was already having a rough time. But if I actually started drinking beer, and let's just say these were like commando days. Like I was on my feet for 12 hours. I'm barely sleeping. Like I didn't need anything to slow me down. I needed things to keep me going.
Right.
So I didn't try any of the alcohol offerings until my last night, which not at Harry Potter though, but somewhere else. Anyways, so. I believe that concludes my Harry Potter day. That night, I stayed on Universal property. It was the only night that I did. I stayed at the amazing hotel, which I could do a whole podcast about that on its own, which is the Cabana Bay Beach Resort, which is themed after 1960s Wildwood, New Jersey beach area.
And this is their newest hotel.
Yeah, it just opened up a few months ago.
I've been following this one as they were building it. Yeah,
it is incredible. Hotel, but part of the perks of staying on property is that you get access to Diagon Alley an hour before the park opens.
Nice.
So I stayed there that night. I ended up actually going out and drinking a lot. since I was on property, they have a great restaurant at City Walk. I had an amazing meal at Antojitos, a new Mexican restaurant that opened up. Had these really strong cocktails and whatever.
Was there tequila involved?
Yeah, it definitely was. And even funny enough, at this point, I needed to do laundry, and I get back to my room at 11:30-ish or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I gotta do laundry. So I stayed up till 2:30 drunk doing laundry.
On your vacation.
Yeah.
This is rich. So what'd you do last night? Well, went out, got wasted, and then did my laundry. I'm sorry, you did what?
I mean, I was out of clothes. And I mean, I was out of clothes because the amount of sweat that was on my – it was so hot. Like, I couldn't have, worn a dirty shirt.
It's not like one of those let's just turn it inside out things.
No.
Yeah, I remember going in October, and it wasn't hot, but it was humid. I've never – outside of Hawaii, I've never felt the humidity like that before. So,
it's intense.
Washers are key.
So I said all that to say, so the park opens at 8:00 and the early entry was at 7 a.m. and that was my checkout day. I needed to be in Charleston, South Carolina, at around 6:00, I think. And that was about 6 hours away. I was staying with a friend, and we had plans. We went on a ghost tour, actually, to keep with the creepiness, but that's another story. So, essentially, I'm like, I had some time in the morning before I had to check out to go, especially with this early entry. And it was one of those things where, I probably went to sleep at 3:00, and I set my alarm for 7:00.
Holy cow, man.
Which, that was a rough wake up. Mind you, I actually should have set it for 6:30 so I could actually get there at 7:00 because you have to ride a bus over and walk, all kind of stuff. But I was like, seven is the earliest that I'm going to do. And I probably got out of bed 7:15, 7:20, threw on some clothes. Hopped on the bus and high tide. I actually got into Diagon Alley at 7:45 a.m.
So you had 15 minutes extra. Hey, that's 15 more minutes than everybody else.
Yeah,
so.
No, it was. And my number one objective that morning was, for one, I hadn't done any shopping the whole time. So my objective that morning was to get shopping done. And I have yet to experience the Ollivander's experience, which is the place where they sell wands.
Wands, yeah.
And I didn't experience it my last trip, and I didn't experience it yet on this trip.
Oh, and this, see? That could have been your hour. That was your hour right there.
Well, that was why that's what I went to do. So, it's a wand store, but there's an experience kind of where you get to watch someone, a random person, go through the wand ceremony where the wand chooses them kind of experience. Mm. So, I went and got to experience that, and that was pretty cool to see that. Obviously.
So how do you get picked to do that? Like,
they just pick
you have
kids.
To wait in line. They pick kids. God dang it.
No,
okay. See right here. this is where I have a problem. all the cool stuff that you get to do, like Ollivanders or all those little interactive things with characters, they always pick kids.
Yeah.
They should be picking adults every once in a while because we're big kids. Right. We kind of want to have that experience as well. So whenever I go next year, I'm going to kick all the kids out. I'm going to be that woman that kicks all the kids out and be like, okay, now you have to pick me. All right.
Well, you know, I don't know if they ever will pick adults. I don't know. I mean, I actually wanted to see the show, so I certainly did not want to get picked. it was one of those moments. I'm just going there, and I'm there. I'm standing in line, and I'm like just waking up. Like I'm barely awake, and I'm really at those moments. There's so many times I had to wake up early and do something I don't want to do, and I was just like, I'm here doing something one of the number one things I want to do in the world is just be in Diagon Alley. Like it almost made it like it was part of my grind, you know, like waking up that early on such a little sleep. And I was like, right. Like it was, I was so amazing being there like that early in the morning on so little sleep. I still had fun even being in that state.
Right. It's like, oh, I gotta go get a wand today. And then I gotta go get my
running errands.
I'm gonna pick up my owl. Yeah. That's kind of pretty surreal, especially off of so little sleep.
yeah. It was so cool. and that was about all that I did. I did that morning before I had to go. On my way out of the park, I went on. Oh, even more funny, my shoes. It was really pouring rain the day before, like really bad. Like, and my even though I had a poncho, my shoes were just done. Like they were just
walking
so,
in
so,
puddles.
Yeah, they were so soaked, and obviously didn't dry by morning. So I had flip flops. So I actually went to Diagon Alley wearing flip flops. Like, how casual is that? That's so awesome.
Hey, that just means you got up and you had to run your errands for the day.
Yeah.
Forget it.
So, so because I had flip flops, I was going to go on Gringotts again, but I figured that kind of roller coaster, I don't know, that I would probably lose them or something. So I
are you like flailing your feet when you're riding on the roller coaster?
No, you're not. But I just, I don't know, whatever rationale I had, I just thought that wasn't a good idea.
4 hours of sleep, slightly hungover, possibly. That makes sense. Yeah. I understand that logic.
but on the way out, I did hop on Transformers for the third time. Which, in my flip flops, so I didn't lose them on there.
It would have just been the Gringotts ride that you would have lost them.
Right. Oh, God. So. But as I was leaving Diagon Alley, like, for the last time, I generally got this feeling of sadness come over me. Like, I was really bummed out. I just love being there so much that it made me, it's one of those things I'm like, if I lived in Orlando, going to Diagon Alley would be a thing that I do on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. 1 to 3 to 4 times a week. I mean, that's excessive, 4 times a week. But I'm saying, like, not, like, just to like, oh, I want some ice cream. I don't know. I'll go to get some at, you know, Florian Fortescue's, you know, like, you know, and just go outside and just hang out there and just the detail of all the storefronts and everything looks old and like there's nothing about this. You're in a theme park. Like it really it is so incredible.
Oh. Then you should just move to Florida.
Well, you know.
And then you could do that.
Well, the weather is so horrible. But I mean, I will tell you that. Yeah. It really made me want to. I will tell you that much, because I'm just like, I just want to spend my time in Diagon Alley. It is such an incredible experience. I love it so much, and I'm being redundant as I wrap this up, but I don't know what else to say.
Well, then, so real quick, what was your favorite moment when you were at Diagon Alley?
My favorite Diagon Alley moment. Wow.
And I totally mispronounced that too, diagonally.
Yeah, you know, you're going to end up in portion of words. That's a tough one. It really is. there was not really anything that really stood out in general. Nothing's really coming to mind. I will say, as I was waiting in line for Ollivanders, the team members that was kind of directing the line, she was talking to me a lot because I was right in the front. And she had commented that she liked my shirt I was wearing, which is a Haunted Mansion shirt.
Yeah. You totally wore a Disney shirt to a Universal Park. I love you so much right now.
I was out of clothes, but I mean, the first day I was there, I was wearing my. And that's a. I got the people that work at Universal. I a lot of them I definitely had like cool connections with, and that was overall was one of my favorite things about Universal. The first day I was there, I was wearing a Bride of Frankenstein shirt, and I got a lot of like cool comments from the people that worked there, and got in conversations about, you know, classic monsters and all this stuff. And so, and they actually asked if I got the shirt there, and I hadn't, and you know, and so we got into conversations about that. So those kind of moments where the people are kind of relating to me on like a real level, I'd say those are probably my favorite things. I mean, it doesn't even break the fourth wall either, you know, because they're not, they weren't really breaking the fourth wall, even they were talking to me about what I was doing.
Right.
You know, or what
they're
I was
kind of like apart from that fourth wall. They're there, but not completely a part of the experience.
Right. They have to do logistical things. That's why they're there. But they're still, you know, they're still in costume, you know, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, there's just the interactive wand stuff around that was so cool. Like, there's an umbrella that's hanging randomly outside, and one of the spells is makes it rain from underneath the umbrella.
That's awesome.
So that's one that I saw people do a few times.
Especially when it's hot.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't really one particular moment. I mean, tough, good question, but I don't have an answer. I guess it's just those little interactions that made me feel like I was a part of something, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's awesome.
So that's my rant about Diagon Alley and Nocturne Alley and seeing Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yay! Every time I hear her name, I have to cheer.
Yes, of course. I wish you could have seen me yell when I saw her. Like as though I was on like a red carpet and she came out of the limo. Like that was the kind of.
You're like, Bellatrix!
I was like, Bellatrix! Oh,
I really wish that I'd been there to see that, because I think out of my group of friends, and you know my friends, I would probably maybe be the only one that would geek out like that. So we'll have to go together.
We'll
totally
together.
Geek out. We'll scream
yell
at Bellatrix.
Everything. Yeah, she's throughout that attraction, so
that's so
you know
awesome.
We can yell, you know, every time.
We might have to get our own car.
Yeah, it's good. We should actually get. Well, I think we should start organizing a Bellatrix fan meet to ride Gringotts. If anyone listening is a Bellatrix fan, let's organize this.
Yay! I love this idea. This is a great plan, actually.
Let's have a whole day of activities paying tribute to Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yep.
I will say, like, I am a good-natured person, you know, I believe, you know, I think I have a good heart, and I feel like I'm a good person. I always try to do the right thing. But I would totally throw all that away to be a loyal servant of Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yes. I'm right there with you. Right there with you. she has fabulous hair. So.
Oh, she's incredible. I mean, she really does something to me that I'm not even going to get into on this podcast. So.
All right. Well, then.
I connect with her on a deep level. I was just like. Like I'll just do whatever she says, I'll do it. Like I'm on board.
what's the curse that makes them? I can't remember. It's not that makes them do something against their will.
Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
It's one of the three curses.
Unforgivable curses. Yeah, I don't remember what it is though. Yeah.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even need to do that on me though.
No, you're like, no, don't be the curse.
It's fine.
Maybe she
I'll
already
do it.
Has.
Yeah, maybe she has. Oh.
I don't know.
We'll get into that a little bit later. But it's funny, guys. I keep thinking, like, people don't want to hear about this. But if you've listened to this episode at this point, you obviously care about Harry Potter somewhat. Because we're pretty deep in here. But we're going to get out of here. This has been a great thing for me to be able to do on this show, which is a little out of the norm since we obviously cover creepy Disney stuff. This is a little different, but it's important to theme parks, so and important to creepy theme park stuff, so I wanted to do it.
Yep.
So, Cupcake.
Yay! Hi!
Hi!
thank you so much for letting me come on the show and hang out and geek out with you over this, because it's so awesome.
Anytime. So... Let's give some plugs for you here. You know, you're not just a random person that I know. You are a public figure, if you will. You can be heard sometimes on the Roxy's World podcast.
Yep.
Which is the official podcast of Pinup Model Roxy Tart.
Hi, Roxy. Gotta give a plug to my girl.
Which is a friend of 20 years of yours, so that's why you appear on there.
20 years plus.
Yeah. 20 years plus, excuse me.
Yeah.
But you can find her podcast and hear Cupcake on some episodes at roxy-tart.com. And anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, if anybody wants to find me and see my weird life adventures through pictures, I'm on Instagram as Cupcake Terror.
Excellent.
And that's it. Social networks are just pretty basic.
Yeah, you just quit Facebook. And
I'm phasing anyway, out Facebook. Yeah, that one wasn't public. Yeah, phasing out Facebook. I have Instagram, Pinterest. I don't know if anybody does Pinterest. I have the most random Pinterest boards ever. Well, maybe not so random. Anyhow, yeah. So Instagram.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on. You know, welcome back anytime. You're a great person. Listen to me go off on rants.
No, well, thank you. Yeah, I was trying not to to tangent too much there for you.
It's all good. And what's a good what's a good goodbye in the Wizarding World?
The Wizarding World?
Yeah.
Avada Kedavra.
Oh, that's a goodbye, all right.
Avada Kedavra, yeah.
Trying to kill me?
You can Avada Kedavra out of here. I pointed my finger, just so you know. Wow. As I did that.
And that is the killing curse. And one thing I realized, whenever people always say it, they're so angry. Can someone say it nicely?
Avada Kedavra, what?
All right, let's Avada Kedavra out of here. Thanks again to Cupcake Terror for coming on the show and chatting it up with me as we nerded out hardcore about Harry Potter stuff. I don't know why I did that voice. It wasn't very Harry Potter of me. But now it's time for us to depart. But before I do, I got some fun stuff to tell you. You can contact the show by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. And I do want to mention, I have received some amazing emails recently that I will be addressing on future episodes once we wrap up Creepy Days. But if you want to reach the show, that's all you got to do. creepykingdom@gmail.com. And be sure to check out my other podcast, The Even James Has a Podcast, which is an uncensored show with myself and co-host Allison, talking about a bunch of random stuff. Want to hear me off the cuff a little bit? Definitely want to check that out. You can find it at The Even James Has a Podcast.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. All you gotta do is go to creepykingdom.com. This show is available in the iTunes store. There you can subscribe. You can also rate the show, and you can leave us a review, which most reviews are 5 stars. There's one that isn't. I'm not going to nitpick over it. They're being honest. I respect your honest opinion. So express your honest opinion. Let me know what you think of the show by leaving a review in the iTunes store. And run the Stitcher app. What's Stitcher, you ask? It is an application for your smart telephone that streams podcasts directly to your smart telephone and or tablet. Check them out at Stitcher.com. Well, until next time...
I have a girl now. It's midnight. Pleasant. dreams.
Ha 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 ha